You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit votr.church.
Well, good morning, everyone. Well, that was really good. You guys are awake this morning. It's great to be with you. My name is Natalie, as Jeff said, and I'm one of the pastors here at the church. I just love starting our mornings together, our Sundays together in worship. It's always such a gift. Sundays are a sacred place that we can all come together week after week. What a gift that we have. Well, this morning, I'm going to be wrapping up our summer series in the book of Jeremiah. And can we just pause and appreciate the fact that we've spent 10 weeks together going through one Old Testament book? That's not something that many people get the opportunity to do. The Old Testament, it can feel intimidating. It takes a little bit more work to understand the history, the culture, the context. But every page of scripture was given to us to help us to know God and to follow him. Well, to catch us up, Jeremiah, he was often called the weeping prophet, was called by God to deliver both promises and warnings to his people. He heard clearly from the Lord during one of the darkest seasons in Israel's history, and Jeremiah was given a gift to the nation because of his closeness with God. But it was a very heavy calling. And I mentioned the weeping prophet, but one theologian suggests that the title says as much about God's heart as it does Jeremiah's. When God spoke through Jeremiah, it was almost as if the Lord himself was weeping over his people. He was grieving their rebellion, seeing their captivity, and longing to rescue them. And while most of us aren't living in physical captivity, every one of us knows what it feels like to be trapped. We all know what it's like to be held captive. There's fear, shame, anxiety, addiction, grief, maybe a broken relationship that you've experienced, or the weight of your own failures. Is there anything holding you captive today? Does anything have you bound or tied up? I mean, what's an emotional pattern or hurtful behavior, some kind of lingering pain? It's in these spaces, in this type of space, and in this reality that God wants to reveal something to you. So let's get into the scriptures, and we're going to learn more about who God is and what he has for you in the midst of your captivity. This morning, we're going to be looking at Jeremiah 33, verses 14 to 16. So you can read along with me and look at the passage. The day will come, says the Lord, when I will do for Israel and Judah all the good things I have promised them. In those days and at that time, I will raise up a righteous descendant from King David's line. He will do what is just and right throughout the land. In that day, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this will be its name. The Lord is our righteousness. And I love this passage because of who heard these words first. God wasn't speaking to people whose lives were comfortable or whose faith was thriving. He was speaking to people living in exile, people who had lost so much, and they were wondering if God had forgotten them. In that place of uncertainty, God makes a promise. The day will come. He reminds them that he has not abandoned them and that everything he's promised will come to pass. I mean, Jeremiah, he's looking hundreds of years into the future because they would be rescued in 70 years and brought back to Jerusalem. But the biggest part of this promise wouldn't be fulfilled until Jesus Christ. The people listening, they couldn't see him yet, but God already knew the plan. Even while they were living in captivity, God was preparing the way for the one who would rescue them completely. Speaking of Jesus, verse 15 says, he will do what is just and right throughout the land. I think there's something in every one of us that longs for that. We all want what is broken to be made whole. We want justice to prevail. We want darkness to give way to light. As Jeff reminded us just a couple weeks ago, we're created in the image of God. So it's only natural that our hearts long for what is good, what is right, and what is true. And the problem is that while we long for righteousness, we can't create it on our own. I mean, we sure try. But we can hide the parts of ourselves that we're ashamed of. We work harder to mask our mistakes. We can convince ourselves that if we could just get our lives together, then maybe we'd finally be enough. But Jeremiah, he points us to something so much better. He reminds us that righteousness isn't something we achieve. It's something that we get to receive. We aren't righteous in ourselves. The Lord is our righteousness. And because of that, we have incredible hope. Our passage in Jeremiah, it gives us three incredible promises that come with the arrival of Jesus, our righteous descendant. And the first one is this: because of the promise of Jesus, you can be saved. When we hear the word saved, it's easy to think only about the very first time that you give your life to Christ, and that's certainly true, but salvation is also wonderfully personal. It's wonderfully present. And when the Bible talks about being saved, it's talking about being saved for eternity, but also being saved continually. Saved for the future and saved for today. Jesus came to save you from the things that hold you captive today. Look again at verse 16. In that day, Judah will be saved. That wasn't wishful thinking. It was God's promise. The people couldn't rescue themselves. And neither can we. Left to ourselves, our sin, our shame, our fears, and our failures, they have a way of keeping us bound, and we need a Savior. I'll never forget surrendering my life to Jesus. He saved me. It was absolutely the most important decision that I made in my life. I was at Bible camp in Iowa. And it was the summer before 10th grade, and there was this ministry night. It was kind of toward the end of the week, and there was this ministry night with this incredible gospel presentation. It was just beautiful, and kids all around me were all high schoolers, and kids all around me were lifting their hands to the Lord, singing and worshiping, and I started to feel so safe in this really dimly lit chapel in the middle of the fields in Iowa. In that moment, I began to notice every single beat of my heart. And there was this anticipation that was literally growing inside of my heart. And I knew in that moment that I could let go of all of the ways that I was trying to hold myself together. For the first time, I realized that I didn't have to keep pretending that I had everything together. I didn't have to keep trying to be good enough or normal enough. As I surrendered my life to Jesus, it was like this weight I didn't even know I was carrying was just lifted off of my shoulders. I experienced freedom. I experienced so much peace. And I experienced the safest place that I'd ever known, the presence of Jesus. He saved me that night, and he's still saving me today. Because of that experience, man, I'm so grateful for all the opportunities that we have for youth at our church. It is such a gift to see them go to camps and mission trips and retreats because I know that they have an opportunity to experience Jesus in significant places away from home for themselves, that they get to make their faith their own. It's such a blessing to see that. I was saved in that moment, and I still need to be saved. I was saved for eternity, but I still need saving today. And the thing that I need to be saved from in today's moment, it's usually my own mind. Anyone else? That was a big moment there. I could feel that. Our minds are incredibly powerful, but they don't always tell us the truth. There are days when I can make a mistake and I'll move on without giving it a second thought. And then there are other days when one small failure suddenly becomes a part of my identity. Instead of thinking, I failed, I start believing, I am a failure. And that's a really wicked thing to believe about yourself. What's going on in your life right now that has you bound or all tied up? How are you held captive? What do you need to be saved from and rescued from? For some of you, that answer might come immediately. It might be a quick thing. Maybe you're carrying anxiety that never seems to quiet down. Maybe you're trapped in patterns of sin that you can't seem to break. Maybe you're weighed down by grief, bitterness, comparison, or fear. We live in a culture that tells us our value comes from our performance, right? If we're productive, successful, and accomplishing things, we feel valuable. And if we fail, we begin to question our worth. That's another thing that can be true for me. This can really pile up when I'm having a bad week or a bad day. When I fail, I can quickly fall into comparison. I start wondering if everyone else has it all together except me. I slip into this victim mindset, thinking, everything is happening to me. Why won't someone help me? And sometimes I isolate because I convince myself that I need to fix everything before anyone finds out I'm struggling. Those thoughts become their own kind of captivity. And every time I find myself there, I'm reminded of how much I still need Jesus. Not because I lost my salvation, but because I need him to rescue me again from the lies that I can so easily believe. You have to remember, I said this earlier, but it's worth repeating. The way the Bible talks about salvation is that your decision to unite your life to Christ for the first time saves you for eternity. But you will continue to need a Savior in your life. It's why we keep coming back here on a Sunday morning, right? Because I'm sure most of you have experienced this spiritual drift away from God throughout your week, and you need to return to him again and again and again. When it comes to salvation, do you need to make a first-time commitment to Jesus? In just a little bit, if you're ready to make Jesus your Savior, I'm going to lead you through a prayer to do that today. Or if you're already a follower of Christ, how do you need to experience Jesus as your Savior today? The first promise, it's all about being saved. But as you keep reading in Jeremiah, another promise is that you can experience safety. One of the most overlooked blessings of God's presence is the gift of safety. When Jeremiah spoke these words, safety wasn't just a feeling. It was a matter of survival. The Israelites were living under the threat of Babylon. They knew what it meant to fear for their future, their homes, and their lives. So when God promised in verse 16, he said, "Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety," those words would have settled deeply into their hearts. Our threats look different today than in Jeremiah's day, but some of us are still facing very real physical dangers, and you need the Lord's protection. But for others, the places where we long for safety are emotional, relational, or financial. We long to feel secure enough to be vulnerable. We want to know that if people really knew us, we'd still be loved. We wonder if we'll have enough, if we'll be enough, or if we'll be okay. Our need for safety, it hasn't disappeared, it's just changed. And we can forget that because we live in 21st century America. We don't face the same kind of threats that Israel did. And yet, we're carrying around different kinds of fear. Our culture is constantly reminding us of everything that could go wrong. Everywhere we turn, there's another reason to be anxious, another crisis to worry about, another headline inviting us to live in fear. If you spend more time consuming the news than you do sitting with the Lord, it's not long before fear could start to impact and skew your view of the world. We simply weren't created to carry the weight of every tragedy happening across the globe. I mean, most of us know far more about the brokenness of the world than our hearts were ever meant to hold, and if we're not careful, fear quietly becomes our default posture. Fear is everywhere, and it's impacting our daily lives. Just the other day, I was out walking, and two women were coming toward me on the sidewalk. There's plenty of room for all of us. We were walking, and just before we crossed paths, they stepped across the street. And this happens to me all the time. It happens to me all the time, and I'm not like an intimidating person. I'm not like, watching. I don't even know how to be intimidating. It's like horrible. I can't even do it. It's not like my arms are like stretched wide and I'm walking toward people in a big posture. Like, here comes this force of strength. Watch out. You better cross the road, or who knows what's going to happen, right? But if you watch close enough, or even pay attention to your own patterns, you'll see the fear in others, or even yourself. Now, I know there are plenty of reasons someone might do this, right? They might cross the road. Maybe they're having a hard day, and that conversation's really private. I mean, I don't think that's what it was, because, you know, it was just passing by for a second. Maybe there are their people capacity and who they're with's enough, and they're like, I just need to keep going. But it's not like it's 2020, right? Where you do cross the road out of kindness because you don't want to sneeze on somebody. But I wonder how our current media cycle, how the mental health of our nation, and how social media is impacting how we carry fear inside of us on a daily basis more than we realize. Have you gotten too accustomed to protecting yourself or taking on the fears of the world? Fear has a way of shrinking our lives, and that isn't the life that Jesus came to give us. Don't put yourself in your own captivity. The message of our culture is often, don't trust anyone, protect yourself, stay guarded. But the message of Jesus is different. As we learn to rest in his presence, we discover that our security isn't found in controlling every situation. It's found in him. He is our savior. He keeps us safe. When I experience God's safety, when I know that my security is rooted in him, that's when I'm able to live differently. I can take risks. I can obey when he's calling me somewhere uncomfortable. I can have difficult conversations. I can share my faith or invite someone to church or step into something new because my confidence isn't built on my own ability to succeed. It's built on the faithfulness of the one who goes with me. That's what the safety of the Lord does. And again, it's one of the most overlooked blessings of God's presence, his safety. This is the kind of safety Jeremiah, he was pointing toward, and it's the kind of safety that we find in Jesus today. How would your life change if you experienced more of God's safety in your life? What impact would that have on your mind or your health or your relationships? I mean, imagine what your life would be like if you didn't have to be afraid anymore. The promises are stacking up. So far, it's been salvation, now safety, and the final promise, because of Jesus, you can receive the righteousness of Christ. Look at verse 16 again with me. In that day, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety, and this will be its name. The Lord is our righteousness. The Lord is our righteousness. This comes from an Old Testament name of God. In Hebrew, it's called Yahweh Tsidkenu. And names in Hebrew culture, they're amazing because they aren't just names. They reveal who God is. They describe someone's character. And so when we read the Lord is our righteousness or Yahweh Tsidkenu, we know we can learn about who God is and what his character is like. He's saying, this is who I am, and it's how I want you to know me. So we definitely want to pay attention to that. The word Tsidkenu, it means righteousness, justice, and being made right. It carries the idea of something being straight or aligned the way it was always meant to be. The hard part is that biblically, none of us naturally live perfectly straight, aligned, or righteous lives. Scripture teaches that every one of us falls short. I mean, think of it like being just 1 degree off course. 1 degree doesn't seem like much at first, but if you continue traveling in that direction for years, you'll end up miles away from where you intended to be. Some of us may feel like we're only a little off, while others feel completely lost, but the truth is that whether we're 1 degree or 100 degrees off, we are all gonna miss the mark. And that's exactly how the Bible describes sin. It isn't simply breaking a rule, It's missing the target God created for us. We were made to know him, to reflect him, and to walk with him. Yet on our own, we continually fall short. It's not always easy to admit because we live in a culture that celebrates independence and freedom. And we're taught that if we work hard enough, if we think positively enough, or we discipline ourselves enough, then we can fix whatever's wrong inside of us. We're taught to embrace every thought, desire, or passion compared to embracing a life of self-control and faithfulness, which it just leads us into all kinds of crooked paths. But the gospel tells a different story. It tells us that we cannot save ourselves. We need someone to do for us what we could never do on our own. And we need the Lord as our righteousness. That's why Jesus came. I mean, think about it like throwing a dart. Depends on how good you are. You might hit your target time after time, but if it's me, I aim in one place, and only once in a while I will actually hit it where I'm aimed. And in those moments, I don't know, I do what I want to do. I convince myself that I'm doing pretty well. Like, I was pretty close, right? But there are plenty of throws that don't even come close to the bullseye. Jesus, on the other hand, he never missed. Every thought, every word, every action was perfectly righteous. Yet instead of keeping that righteousness for himself, he offers it to us. And that's the beauty of this name. The Lord is our righteousness. He doesn't simply tell us to become more righteous. He shares it with us. And that changes everything about how we live. I don't have to spend my life trying to prove myself to God, or pretend that I have everything together, or even hide parts of my life that I'm ashamed of. I can come honestly before him, because my standing with God isn't based on my ability to perform. It's based on what Christ has already accomplished for me. Instead of allowing shame or failure to define me, I can bring those things into his presence because I know that I am already accepted. I can stop striving to earn his approval and start living from his approval. His righteousness becomes the foundation of my life. And that doesn't make me passive. It gives me the freedom to obey him more boldly because I'm no longer living out of fear or trying to prove myself. I'm living from grace. Part of who God is, part of how he moves toward his people, is by offering his righteousness to those who trust in him. What important timing for the Lord to reveal himself to Jeremiah. He revealed this name while his people were still in captivity, and that is significant for us. He didn't wait until they had everything together. He revealed himself right in the middle of their brokenness. And this should bring us so much hope. In life, your strength will never be enough. It may feel like you can get through in your own power, but staying connected to God is always the best option. There are times when the weight of guilt, shame, or failure, it feels way too heavy. And maybe you've wondered, like, does everything always have to depend on me? Will someone ever step in on my behalf? Is it always going to be this hard? What we learn from our passage today is that God is always ready to step in. He doesn't simply point us toward righteousness. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is our righteousness. He rescues, he restores, and he gives hope to people who could never save themselves. And that includes us. As I look back over this passage, I realize these three promises, they're all connected. Because of the promise of Jesus, we can be saved. The things that hold us captive don't have to have the final word because Jesus came to rescue us. Because of the promise of Jesus, we can experience safety. We no longer have to hide behind fear, shame, or self-protection because we are secure in his presence. And because of the promise of Jesus, we can receive his righteousness. We don't stand before God hoping we've done enough. We stand before him in confidence because we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. So what do you need to receive from Jesus today? Maybe you've never surrendered your life to him. And again, if that's you, today is an invitation to receive this gift of salvation that he freely offers you. Maybe you've been following Jesus for years, but somewhere along the way, you've started carrying burdens that he never asked you to carry. You've been trying to prove yourself or hide behind shame or believing that your failures define you. Today is an invitation to lay those at his feet once again and receive his safety. Jeremiah, he gave this promise to people who were living in captivity, and he reminded them that God had not forgotten them. And the same is true for you. Whatever has you feeling captive today, Jesus is still the one who saves. He is still the one who brings safety to anxious hearts. And he is still Yahweh Tsidkenu. The Lord is our righteousness. May we leave today trusting not in our strength, but in the one who has done for us far more than what we could ever do for ourselves. Let's pray together.